The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup here on 710 KNUS, where we kick it off with Jimmy from 6 to 9. I take you up till noon. Bird Talk guys show up then, and the bookend on the backside. The bookend on the backside is good buddy Dr. Matt Dunn with Backbone Radio. And, you know, if you're listening to this show and not listening to Backbone Radio, you're really missing out, whether you grab it on the podcast, if you're still, you know, hanging on with the Broncos and got to spend some time in the evenings watching the losses piling up. I get it, but the podcasts are great. And I bring it up especially today because Matt Dunn last Sunday in hour three did an exposition on witch hunting and happiness and the pursuit of happiness. And there was conspiracy factored in, and I think there was audio from Joe Rogan. It was a phenomenal hour, and I would just suggest that you go back and grab it if you didn't get a chance to hear it for the very first time. I'm so excited about today's show. 303-696-1971 is the number. As you know, phone lines tend to load up, so get while the getting's young. Anything at all is on the table, as always, here on Saturday morning from 9 to noon, where we are not afraid to speak truth to power and to push back on the rabble-rousing, trouble-making, well-fed, well-read, do-nothing mainstream media every single opportunity we get. And, of course, we do. But one of the reasons I'm so excited about today is I can't remember the last time, if it's been a year or, well, I'm just not sure. But the last time Dr. Julie McCallum from Cenogenics was in studio, it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal show. And she came in for a few minutes, wound up staying for a couple of hours. She's coming in at 11 o'clock today to introduce you to her new partner at denver.cenogenics.com. Cenogenics here in Denver, and his name is Dr. Tim Watts. And I do believe we still have the Dr. Watts stuff up? Oh, did you pull it at the last minute? Okay, well, I guess I'd kind of said to do that. Well, Dr. Watts is a neurosurgeon, and he is absolutely brilliant. Apparently, photographic memory. We'll see how that all plays out in a live interview. You haven't met him yet, just played some audio. He's got a Facebook channel that is pretty terrific. And now give those back to me right now. We can do that in a minute, Gene. Just fantastic. And unafraid to talk about things like masking and vaxxing and some of the alternative treatments that have kept people healthy, gotten people through, or even helped prevent people from contracting the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. And so one of the things that I know we will talk about in the 11 o'clock hour with Dr. Julie, and listen, I really want them to talk to you about Cenogenics as well. I don't know how it works with advertising and all that, but you've heard me talking about Cenogenics and just the benefits that I've derived in my first year, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But mostly we're going to talk about things that nobody will talk about, including ivermectin. And ivermectin is it's amazing. The people who just don't take the time to understand, to read, to learn, to see how effective it's been in places like India. Or just, you know, take the New York slimes, Washington compost, corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine line that it's a horse tranquilizer. You're going to take that for your flu, your CCP virus, your respiratory illnesses. Well, there is a movie out now, and you can find it on YouTube, about ivermectin. It's not, it's just a, it's a little documentary, and I think it's maybe 20 minutes. I haven't even seen it yet, but I did find out about it just before the show, and I want to share sort of the teaser of it with you.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the premiere of the movie called What is Ivermectin? I really like this movie. It's a short film, but it's quite powerful. It's kind of an inspiring and intellectually stimulating tracing of the history of ivermectin and its impacts on a number of countries as well as diseases in the world. And I got to tell you, that history is still being written, and this movie will bring us up to that point. And I find it, a very powerful movie. So I hope you enjoy it. I also want to thank Sean Burke and Adrian Urso for making this movie happen. Adrian's the director. I also want to thank our supporters for funding the movie, and also stick around after the movie, because Adrian is going to do an interview and talk about how he got sort of inspired and involved in the project. And then also keep in mind, please follow and like us on this channel. Go to flccc.net to visit and follow us there. And then also, if you like the movie, please share on your social media channels. So again, thanks for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the movie.
What is ivermectin? Here are a few key points before we take a closer look. It was first discovered in 1973 and has been approved for human use since 1987, with more than 4 billion doses distributed worldwide. The World Health Organization has also included it on its list of essential medicines. And it's been called a wonder drug due to its versatility, safety profile, and beneficial impact it has had worldwide, earning a Nobel Prize to the two men who discovered and developed it. It's fascinating to note that ivermectin shares a very interesting trait with penicillin and aspirin in the fact that they were all found and derived from nature.
Just a little tease to the opening of the movie all about ivermectin. And you can, I guess, find it on YouTube or check out the website, flccc.net. Wonderful resources at flccc.net. As I'm learning day after day, as we continue in the fight for hospitalized patients, doctors who refuse to provide treatments, parents who are fighting hard to delay sticking the vaccine in their children, a vaccine that is proving to, in some kids, to be creating heart conditions and heart inflammation. And the battles just go on and on. And listen, we all know that the judicial system in the United States has its moments of greatness and its moments of true buffoonery. And over the last couple of weeks, I have just, I've experienced so much of both. I was involved in a criminal case with a guy, you know, real bad drug problem, and did time in jail, and made himself a model prisoner. And there was another crime involved, and nothing violent or anything like that. But, and a probation sentence that he just could not get through. There was a conflict with the probation officer, and he was on a medication that he said gave false drug tests. I mean, just all kinds of interesting stuff. But the bottom line to this story is that this is another story where the system, the prosecutors wanted up to 6 months in the county jail for violating his probation. He's came in and just simply told a judge who was willing to listen that, look, here's how this is going from my perspective. Here's what I'm doing in my community. And there were extraordinary things, verifiable, extraordinary things, tremendous business success that he appears to have achieved, all while trying to fight his way through this final period of probation that just went on and on and on because they kept saying he wasn't doing the right things. And we had a judge who listened to the story and, in my mind, just simply made the right decision. And then on the flip side of that, you get these jurists who are, I don't know if it's politically motivated or they're just so brainwashed by the mainstream media about things like vaccinations that they will do anything to drive a case to a conclusion that results in forced vaccinations over the objections of one parent into a child. this early in this whole process and with mounting evidence of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, and other problems, with actual warnings about potential damage to birth, to your reproductive systems, you know, if you're a young person, male or female. I mean, it's just crazy. But throughout the course of the weeks, we've just had, you know, we've had victories where we kept a foster baby, a preemie foster baby, with the foster parents who did refuse to get vaccinated. And super healthy, super cautious, super well-trained in medicine and in premature babies. And then, of course, on the national scale, just two very important verdicts in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, Rittenhouse and Jussie Smollett. Henry, one of our, many of the old listeners to the show know of Henry and his last year with his lovely bride and her fight with cancer, and we shared some of that on the air, and he's moving on. See him at car shows, and we get to talk, and just love and respect Henry, Vietnam vet, and just living his life. But this morning, just as I was getting ready to start packing up and come in, he sent me a picture. Remember when the Obamas almost immediately called the attack a hate crime? And it's a picture of Barack Hussein Obama, Michelle on his right, Jussie Smollett on his left, and absolutely, I remember that. I remember when Barack Obama called out, what was it, New Haven, Connecticut, the police there who stopped someone who they thought was a burglar. Turns out it was a left-wing professor who has lost his key, was breaking into his own house. But the story that was never told is that he refused to cooperate with the cops. He got all arrogant, and then all of a sudden, you know, the right of his, the privilege of his position at this university, and was just obnoxious. And the first thing Barack Obama said, this was early in the presidency, is that the police officers, whichever police department that was, acted stupidly. And then Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, proved to be a lie, an absolute lie that led to the spawning of the evil Marxist Black Lives Matter, burn down cities, lock cops inside police stations and light them on fire, you know, show up at a pro-police rally in Denver 2 years ago and announce your soup drive. That's what you're going there to do, you Antifa thugs. A soup drive, when the reason they bring the soup cans is to throw them at the police, to throw them at us as we were trying to, in a permitted event, have a peaceful rally. So, yes, I do remember, and I see how the media just continues to build up these narratives and these mantras and push back on anyone who tries to expose the truth, or at least is willing to get out and debate the issues. No, got to be quiet. Any evidence of election fraud or election irregularities is debunked. That's the adjective of choice in the lamestream mainstream media. Any spin on, I mean, look at the media silence. MSNBC was called out. They didn't even report the Jussie Smollett verdict. My God. It's so lopsided. It's so unbelievable. And then, you know, in my position, Republican National Committee man, outspoken host on radio, prone to say things that apparently get the dander of the left, or maybe in their case it's the dandruff, I don't know, but it gets it up. And even friends or people that you would think are friends call you out or call you names or write about you without even talking to you first. And there was an example of that just this week, and I forget the publication, but there's a guy named Ari Armstrong, a libertarian. I guess maybe he's on the Republican side now because he wrote this piece about how what Republicans need to do to get their act together. And let me see if I've got it still. I believe maybe I do. Yeah, what's it called? Armstrong. Colorado Republicans need to get their house in order. And so this is a guy, when he was a real adamant libertarian, we used to argue and debate quite a bit because even though I'm libertarian leaning and libertarian you know, my foundation certainly is one of some libertarianism. I am a constitutional conservative. I believe in ordered liberty. I don't think it's everything goes for anybody, anywhere, anytime, as long as it doesn't impact another person. And the last time we had a conversation, I think, was when we did a debate. I don't even remember the topic. It was on John Caldera's, what's that show called that he does? Devil's Advocate. My friend John Caldera at the Independence Institute, someone else, very libertarian, I think, and someone I disagree with periodically. But we're all trying to drive in the same direction. And so Ari, in this piece, where he's, you know, call, you got to shut up about the elections, you got to shut up about, oh, Tina Peters, she's crazy, she's a crook, when all she did was take a forensic copy of a voting machine before the state got its hands on it, because of her concern that they would change it, according to the forensic report, 29,000 changed voting records. I haven't looked at any of this in detail, so I don't know what's real, what isn't up there. But oh my God, you can't talk about it. But in this piece, he refers to me as well-known Republican activist Randy Corcoran, not even a mention of the Tea Party leadership for a decade or Republican National Committee man, which... Of course, now Kyle Snark and others report as the highest, you know, Republican, highest elected official, or as a, not, you know, within the party, I guess. And that's not accurate. It's just a different segment of roles within the party. But they try and make it look that way when they try and point to me as, you know, one of the problems with the current Republican Party. Well-known Republican activist Randy Corcoran has also made a name for himself with such conspiracy mongering, as have others. The gutlessness of these people, whether it's behind a mic, whether it's behind a TV camera, whether it's on social media or in this written piece, to not at least, I'm the easiest guy in the world to get a hold of. My law firm is out there. There's contact on the corcoranlaw.com, corcoranlaw.com website. Phone number's there. My cell phone is public knowledge or easy to get. It's on my business cards, for goodness sake. I'm on social media. Easiest person in the world to get to comment on any of these stories. And I, you know, I got tired of making this challenge throughout the entire year so far. We're wrapping up the year. But I came in here and other shows when I was filling in, and time after time after time, I would say, look, all of you people who've made your conclusions, whether it's about the election, whether it's about January 6th and the murder of Ashley Babbitt, and how these political prisoners are being mistreated by the U.S. government, any and all of those things. If you're on the other side from me on those topics, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it publicly. If you say there's no election fraud, I'll be happy to point you to court rulings and statements of very important witnesses in actual court cases, states that have determined that certain equipment is not safe to use in elections. And all of those facts are out there. But all we get from the well-read, well-fed, mainstream, corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine is this name-calling, conspiracy-mongering. Remember when I got elected as RNC committee man? I was in D.C. for a party, and I know we've got phone calls. I'll just, let me get the rest of this off my chest. We'll go to the phones on the other side. 303, excuse me, got myself all choked up there. 303-696-1971. When I got elected and I was in D.C. For a, I forget what, Christmas party or something at the White House. Maybe it was the president, President Trump, accepting the Republican nomination. I was there for that speech. And on the flight back, my social media, when you'd get the, you know, when I had internet access on the plane, just blew up because this organization called CNN K-File had done this hit piece on me. And again, this is where they get the conspiracy mongering, known for spreading conspiracy theories, as Channel 7 reported after the CNN K-File report came out. And that was on a Friday night. I got back in time to do the show on Saturday morning, and I took just a few minutes. People actually were calling in, texting in, saying, eh, yeah, don't waste time with those people. And maybe I should have just explored every one of their accusations. But I remember the first one was spreading conspiracies that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. And I looked, and they linked to a Twitter, a tweet that I had put out on Twitter. And so I clicked on the link, and what it went to was a video of Barack Obama in Kenya talking about returning to his home country. It was him talking about it. And I made a snarky comment about it, but it was his own words that I was playing off of. And the list goes on and on. But as a result of that, I think during Bandamir litigation, Channel 7, when they talked about one of the events at Bandamir and they referred to me as Bandamir's lawyer, said, you know, something about Republican National Committee man, activist known for spreading conspiracy theories. This is how they work. This is how they try to shut you up. So Ari Armstrong, I reached out to him yesterday. I emailed him. I tweeted him and said, hey, man, I'm not hard to find. Let's talk. Let's talk about such conspiracy mongering. Let's break it down. He, in this piece, and I know we're near the break, in this piece, he goes after Lauren Boebert. Another problem for Republicans is that casual slates against immigrants and Muslims have become far too common among Republicans. And he talks about Lauren Boebert and the Jihad Squad comment against Ilhan Omar, whom he refers to as a Muslim, an immigrant, and a member of Congress from Minnesota. First of all, Republicans that I know that take on immigration talk about illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, people who come across our border illegally as their first act stepping onto our soil and then reap the benefits, especially under the creepy, sleepy, putative President Joe Biden administration. And when I talk about Muslims, I talk about violent Islam. And my point is, if Muslims are so afraid of the extremism and the violence that comes out of Islamic terrorism that they can't even call out their own, then there's a problem. It needs to be looked at. It needs to be called out. And to refer to Ilhan Omar as a Muslim and an immigrant who apparently married a brother, who is really so anti-Semitic as to be unbelievable that she's allowed to really stay in Congress, that she hasn't been drummed out already, is absolutely extraordinary. These people who are telling Republicans how to behave, oh, we have to be calm, we have to be cool, we have to be collected. One of his other complaints is somebody talking about violence, erecting gallows and hanging Democrats, or not Democrats. Actually, he was talking about Republicans, people who voted, you know, to extend the debt ceiling and gave up all of our leverage and keep selling us down the river. It was a joke, maybe a bad joke. I don't even like talking about violence because I've been a victim of the violence of the left. Republicans can't joke about or talk about these things because, ooh, it's too controversial. You'll upset the independent voter. But the left can actually do it. I was there when Antifa beat up old ladies and went after Michelle Malkin and damaged our equipment and took over the stage. And the lawsuit is coming. I know you keep hearing it, but it is. And I was there when Lee Keltner was shot and killed. I had left just before that happened, but I was at that Patriot muster put on by Benghazi war hero Tig Tigan to simply pray and listen to speakers and sing the national anthem. And the cops, after what they did with our pro-police rally, proved that they know how to separate the violent, radical Antifa leftists from those of us who simply want to stand up for our country, for the men and women in blue, for our military, for each other. They proved that they know how to do it. But at the end of that, Lee Keltner was shot and killed. That's real violence. Chaining police stations shut, catching them on fire, shooting retired black police detectives who were trying to help somebody in the midst of cities being burned by these radical leftists. But we're not even supposed to joke about it. We're not even supposed to mention these issues because it's so disturbing. What a bunch of gutless, so-called supporters of the Republican Party don't need them. They will not help us. They'll take us right back to the same losses that we've experienced election after election after election. You can count on it. You know it in your soul. All right, way late. Sorry about it. 303-696-1971 is the number, 925. Some great audio coming up, including the eulogy of Bob Dole, his own words on election integrity. Next on 710 KNUS. My mom almost 90, but 78. Man, that's a hard one. But you guys are busy on the 710 KNUS app. We'll get to the phones here in a second. But you guys are so busy on the app. I want to read some of these texts. Also, don't forget, 11 o'clock, Dr. Julie McCallan in studio from Cenegenics to introduce her new partner, neurosurgeon Dr. Tim Watts. We played some Watts clips from his YouTube channel last week, and you will find it very, very interesting. If you weren't here at the top of the hour, start of the show, we also played a couple of minutes, an introduction to, and then just a few moments from a movie all about ivermectin. I'm sure we will get into that in the 11 o'clock hour. Finally, a chance to talk about the other side of the coin when it comes to these alternative treatments. It's so funny to me that how the vernacular continues to change. Remember, you had to get a vaccination in order to be able to return to your normal life. Then it turned into you have to be fully vaccinated. And now, pretty sure I heard this on one of our own newscasts, top of the hour newscast from CBS. The new vernacular is fully vaccinated, fully boosted, or boosted. Fully vaccinated, fully boosted. You can't go to Christmas with your family unless you're fully vaccinated and fully boosted. And that's why even these court cases that we have, if we've gotten a bad first ruling allowing a child to be vaccinated, probably need to keep going because it's never going to end. The head of Pfizer says now probably need four boosters to be fully protected against the latest versions of the CCP virus. I can't wait to talk about some of that with experts like Dr. Julie and Dr. Tim Watts live in studio in the 11 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock, Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas will join us with a big, big announcement. She is considering putting on a different hat. That'll be fantastic. And before we get to the phones, let me just say this. I mentioned before MSLSD ignoring the Jussie Smollett verdict. And so one of my liberal trolls here on the 710 KNUS app, download it on your phone. You can text to the studio. I really do enjoy it. Wish people like this gentleman or woman would call 303-696-1971 when you can get in. More lies. I was listening to MSNBC that day, and the verdict was breaking news the minute it happened, fake news. And so that's really an example for me of how I need to be more specific, because I didn't really mean to say MSLSD didn't talk about it at all. Of course it scrolled across their news. Of course they actually mentioned it. They had to. What I was talking about was their primetime commentators. The Tucker Carlsons and Sean Hannitys of MSLSD did not talk about Jussie Smollett and the phony white race crime accusations and the setup and the ludicrous nature of everything that was done there, and how the people like me and Donald Trump Jr. called it out for what it was, not for certain, but with strong speculation, just as a trial lawyer who's, you know, looked at crime scenes and crime evidence and nothing made sense. Jussie Smollett walks in, what was it, with the noose around his neck. My God. And we were just, again, called, you know, white racists and liars and the whole nine yards. But because we on the right are held to such a higher standard, it is important to be careful and accurate. So, to Mr. or Mrs. Texter, who apparently never call in, I was talking about the opinion hosts, Rachel Madcow and others on MSLSD. Instead, they chose to talk about some court going after Trump for tax records or some other garbage, I don't know. And, you know, certainly that's news. But the Smollett thing, that deserved some comment from the right, left-wing radicals over there at MSLSD, the opinion talking heads, and it got none. So there's the truth. More texts, and Doloff is still not on trial. And yeah, I know, it just goes on and on. Doloff is the accused shooter of Lee Keltner at the Patriot muster. What was it, gosh, a year ago October now, where that man was shot and killed point blank right in the face. Unbelievable. So, all right. And then one other call, and we'll do this and then I'll get to phones, I promise. One other texter reminded me about the wrap-up smear. I got into a bit of an over-lengthy monologue about the attacks from in the media, including from people who you would think are friends, like this Ari Armstrong, who makes this comment about me, and it really flows from the CNN K-file that was done a couple years ago. By the way, it doesn't seem to be available now. I clicked on the links that people had linked to, like when Kyle Clark retweeted about me a couple weeks ago, and the link was dead. And the link was also dead for the video of Barack Hussein Obama in Kenya talking about his home, you know, so great to return to my home country. Just out of context, everything out of context for these people. And now it seems like it's all getting scrubbed. So that's a little bit fascinating as well. But a very smart texter reminded me this is all a strategy. And I know it. I've said it 100 times. But hear it for yourself. And then, Jim, sit tight. We'll come to you next. Hear it for yourself from Nancy Pelosi.
Call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
It's a tactic.
And it's self-evident. But I think I'm worth the trouble, quite frankly.
It's a tactic, it's self-evident, and Nancy Pelosi is worth the trouble. Remember that this is what's going on every time you hear some attack on somebody who is standing up for the other side of the coin. And don't let it shut you up, ever, under any circumstances. All right, Jim, I promised. I'm sorry for the wait. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Randy. Listen, I got a quick question. You keep on saying that things are changing within the Republican Party, but every time I hear what's going on, it seems like the establishment, which seems to be controlling the powers within the Republican Party, are doing things against the MAGA movement. Case in point, Lisa Murkowski. Ronna McDaniels has said they're supporting her versus the challenger in that primary. It seems like any of these rhinos are being supported by the Republican establishment. I just don't see where you say that things are changing. To me, it seems, and also not only that, I think the establishment hates the MAGA movement or the populists more than the Democrats. What do you have to say on that one? Because they seem to be doing everything they can to destroy the movement.
Don't know if they hate us more. I mean, I think the long-term Republicans, you know, the Mitch McConnells, mm-hmm. the let's reach across the aisle folks, the sell America down the river Republicans are far more comfortable doing battle, friendly battle with Democrats and just, you know, compromising ever more gingerly to the left than they are actually taking it on. I think people like him despise people like me. I think you're 100% right about that.
Oh, because you're trying to change the movement. But unfortunately, Randy, it seems like people like you are not in the levers of power within the Republican Party. And how is that going to change when the only guy that was Trump? And even though we support him, and I think the Republican Party is lost without him, it seems they're trying to sideline him every time they can, and versus supporting him. Concerning these protesters, the January protesters, the Republican Party says nothing to them. They're treated worse than the Guantanamo people. I mean, and yet the Republican Party has kept quiet. They have decided to, these people need to go. They're not part of the Republican Party anymore. These are the people that stood up and were loyalists. These are patriots. The patriots are now enemies of this government and the Republican Party as well. They're not supporting them either.
Well, several things. I'm a voting member on the RNC. I'm a voting member on the executive committee of the Colorado GOP. I do have a microphone. If I had time to write more, I can get published in places. So there are ways to push back. I will tell you, my experience on the RNC is there are far more like me who are working themselves into positions of power than in the past. the RNC, in spite of the things that we may disagree with that are going on, now raises more money from small donors than from the big donors. That is a massive change. The RNC is focused on defending changes in election law. Of course, the elections were perfect last year, but we don't really need to change the law. The reason these laws are being changed is because so many flaws were exposed last year, and the RNC is defending those. The RNC did great things in Virginia to help make sure that that election was able to be conducted as honestly as possible, with resources and people on the ground. And so, listen, we hear every single day, even from our own, in the mainstream media, how crappy we are, how we need to sit down and shut up. And that's because they get a voice there. The mainstream media latches on to those statements and plays them over and over and over. That is not what's going on the ground, Jim. And it's, you know, it's like trying to turn the Titanic around as it approaches the iceberg. It's a very slow process to turn around this massive ship. But I think you just have to take a satellite view and understand that the incremental change is going in the right direction. It's just way too slow for people like you and me.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but, you know, until we start seeing the leaders within the Republican Party, those mouthpieces, start to say things, it's hard not to be disheartened by the Republican Party. It really is, because I just see it staying the same. They're supporting Lynn Cheney's and all these people that actually hate our movement more than the Democrats. I honestly believe they do. I honestly believe they do. I don't think they like us at all.
Clearly, the Liz Cheney's, the Bill, I don't even remember his name anymore, National Review writer.
Bill Kristol.
Bill Kristol, yeah. He used to be a regular guest with me on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran when I was doing a daily show. And we talk about conservative ideas and stuff, but this Never Trump thing, the former chair of the Colorado GOP busted for $250,000 of pilfering from the Trump campaign, who announced as a Republican for Biden. They are among us, but we're fleshing them out, Jim. And you know what? If you'll hold on for a minute, I've got something I want to read to you and get your comment on, a statement from Donald Trump. But we're really late on the break, so sit tight. Jim's on hold. Jim's gone. Jim, I hope you call back. My finger hit the wrong button. 943, Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. But the live show of the monkeys was just hilarious for me as a kid. And so I was just shocked when I heard that Michael Nesmith died at 78 years old, apparently of natural causes in his own home. We got Jim back on the line, so we'll get to him in just a second. I was just kind of reviewing history in my mind for all the people like this, Ari Armstrong, who call me out in a piece, don't even bother to call me, talk to me, ask me a question about something I believe or something that I've said. And I reached out to him. It was late yesterday. Maybe we'll get him on next week to talk about his cure for the Republican Party. But man, oh man, just everywhere you turn, the people in power have lied to you from the beginning. Think about the World Health Organization. January of 2020, preliminary investigations conducted by the Chinese authorities have found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of the novel coronavirus COVID-19. You know that that's a lie. And then it was, from bats to humans. No conversation, no admission until so much in emails, in papers, in transfers of money demonstrated that gain-of-function research, in other words, strengthening the power of a virus to attack human beings, was being funded by us in the Wuhan lab. But at first, when you say something, whether it's about election fraud or anything else, you're a liar, you're crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist, and it just goes on and on. Anywhere you look, Molly Hemingway the other day sent out video with Pennsylvania election workers discussing hiding derogatory, meaning Republican records, derogatory records that would show election fraud in Pennsylvania. The U.S. Senate candidate in Georgia has sued Fulton County, David Perdue, alleging absentee ballots were scanned multiple times. It's going on and on and on, and nobody can talk about it. Shh, be quiet. Don't say those things. Anyway, Jim was kind enough to call back after I rudely disconnected him, so let's get back to him first And Jim, I understand your frustration with Republicans, and the mainstream media exploits any time Republican leaders say things that are derogatory about, you know, people like you and me or Donald Trump or his administration. But let me just read to you this statement from Donald Trump with regard to Mitch McConnell, and just get, before I comment on it, get your take. Mitch McConnell, this was released at about 4:30 yesterday. Mitch McConnell, the broken old crow, has just conceded, for absolutely nothing and for no reason, the powerful debt ceiling negotiating bloc, which was the Republicans' first-class ticket for victory over the Democrats. He was afraid to play that card, even though, without question, they would have completely folded on the Build Back Worse bill, which will destroy the fabric of our country and virtually anything else that the Republicans wanted. It should have been used on the infrastructure deal, he writes. Also, proudly, House Republicans voted 100% like true patriots. Kinzinger, in my mind, is not a Republican. The old crow also allowed a breaking up of the filibuster, which allows the Democrats now to establish precedent for changing the number of justices on the Supreme Court, and perhaps most importantly of all, a so-called voting rights bill, which will make it almost impossible for Republicans to get elected in the future. He lost 2 seats in Georgia, didn't fight for the presidency, and now gave away our most powerful negotiating tool, almost done, the debt ceiling. Other than fundraising, where he buys senatorial support, the broken old crow is a loser and very bad for the Republican Party. What's your reaction to that statement from former President Donald Trump?
God bless Donald Trump. The guy, just everything he said, I agree with 100-fold. He is just, unfortunately, there should be more of him. There should be more of those Republicans like Josh Hawley speaking out about this stuff. Mitch McConnell is the worst thing for the Republican Party. The only thing he did that was decent is stop Merrick Garland. Other than that, that guy is a useless. I can't even think of him as a Republican. He's a rhino. And, you know, he's what speaks bad of the Republican Party.
Well,
He'll sell out the Republicans quicker than he will anything else.
Yeah, and he's brought tremendous resources to bear to take out conservative challengers to establishment Republicans. I admitted 2016 when he was I was on the floor of the Republican National Convention holding down the microphone. And Mitch McConnell came walking through, grab-handing and saying hello to people, and I literally turned away from him. And then when he stopped the nomination of Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court, I thought, man, you know, every once in a while, that was massive. That was incredible. And then we get back to this. But wouldn't that statement have been just as powerful from the president without the broken old crow thrown in? The name calling. I don't get how that adds to it, and then it just increases the resistance of people like the classic suburban housewife who just doesn't like the constant name calling and stuff. What do you think?
I agree with you on it. It's not a presidential and those type of things, but that's Donald Trump. I mean, you know what you get with Donald Trump. And that's one of these rough edges that you get with him. That's why I think the Republican Party feels that he should not be a representative because of those rough edges. I like it, to be honest with you. I like honesty. And that's exactly what Mitch McConnell is. He is the old Republican Party, and that needs to go. If we're going to change to a populist party, the middle class party, the party of the poor, we got to get rid of these guys because he represents the military industrial complex. He represents the millionaires and billionaires that are very few within the Republican Party. This is what the Republican Party was. They only spoke for the millionaires before. No longer. Donald Trump is the one that changed that. That's the reflection. The Republican Party represents the middle class people now. The Democrats are the coast millionaires and billionaires. This is a sea change. That's why the Hispanics are going over there, because they get their hands dirty. They recognize what's going on.
But
anybody that works realizes the inflation is killing them.
And
it's
Jim,
the worst thing that's happened to America.
Jim, let's not slide over what you just said, though. The Republican Party becoming the party of the working man, of course, thanks to Donald Trump and the America First agenda. But that's all part of what's happening within the Republican Party. So when you call up and I just don't see it. I don't see how it's changing. The leaders are saying this and doing that. And, of course, the media is just blasting that everywhere that they can. This is the point that I'm making with you, that it is changing, and it's changing for the better. And the way we avoid losing that momentum is by not backing down from the same old people telling us to do the same old things in the same old way.
Well, I agree with you on that, Randy. The thing about it is, you know, I can think of a handful of senators that I think are in line with Donald Trump. The thing about it is they don't seem to have the megaphone that these rhinos do. And I hope you're right on it. I really think that the future of this country depends on the populace now taking over this party and guiding it to where it needs to go.
It's happening, brother. Precinct committee man, the basic, most entry-level position of power and voting in the Republican Party, those positions are being filled around the country, concerted efforts. Moms for America were a massive force on the ground in Virginia. That's an America First group. It's just happening. Don't let them make you believe differently. It doesn't mean don't call out the BS, but be strong, keep fighting. It's marching the right way, and the awakening is happening, man. I can feel it. Great call, Jim.
I'll just say this. I actually support independent candidates, the Republican site, such as Lauren Boebert. These ones, Josh Hawley, I know I don't support the Republican Party them for their fundraising. I think that the individuals we need to support, and because I don't, you know, I think they're even sidelining Lauren Boebert whenever they can.
Well, it sounds like it. There's a piece out that there's an old guard Republican who's going to challenge her in a primary. We may get a chance to talk about that next hour. Got to stop it there, though, Jim. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for calling back in when I dropped you so unceremoniously.
All right. Take care.
God bless. It is top of the hour. Laura Thomas, Douglas County Commissioner, will join us. We'll see what's happening with masks and things like that. But the primary purpose of her call is the big announcement, a anticipated or at least an effort at a career change from Laura Thomas. She'll join us next. We've got callers on the line. Jay, you'll be first when we come back to calls. And I hope you'll stay right there for the second hour. Wake up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.